I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Hello, everyone. Just me at the top of the show to let you know about the Patreon. So go to patreon.com/dykwia. That's patreon.com/dykwia. Every Sunday or Monday, there is a brand new episode of Top 5, the Patreon-only podcast, where me and a friend count down the top five of a topic that we suggest we're going to do. So this current one out is with Durok Jaya Singer. We're talking top five exercise songs. So lots of people in the comments are saying they've been going out, running to the playlist that we put up and breaking their PB. So well done, you guys. And I've got a great one coming out next week, which is with my friend Zane from Burnie, who's been a guest on the show, Zane Lind. And we count down our top five things growing up in Burnie. So it's super, super funny, that one as well. Also, if you are a parent of kids aged between 4 and 10, I have a Instagram page for kids called Joshua Kids. And every single Sunday, I put up a little video of stuff that can entertain your kids, about 5-7 minute long. I'm currently going through my show, Oliver Up a Tree. So there's been two chapters of that, and it'll take about 10 weeks to fill that out. So that could be something nice you can do with your kids. Huge thanks to everyone who's been downloading the episodes and sharing the episodes and leaving 5-star reviews on Apple iTunes and iTunes. That is much appreciated, especially in these times. Everyone's looking for new stuff to listen to, so tell them about this show. Super funny episode coming up right now with Luke Heggie, Nick Cody, Ann Edmonds, and Nazim Hussain. So let's not listen to me anymore and let's get straight into it. I'll see you on the other side of this music. Welcome to Don't You Know Who I Am, the podcast that asks who knows whom, who knows what, because who knows why. My name is Josh Earle, and this week on the internet I discovered I share my name with a man who has his own plumbing business, and a Facebook review of his site, of his business, says this. This plumber came to give an in-home estimate a few days ago. He verbally harassed my partner, causing a seizure.
Oh.
He then blocked me physically after getting too close to me and would not exit the house when asked. 1-star. So, come on, Josh. Lift your game.
That sounds like a call the cops situation.
Yeah, he's mixed up a plumber with a fucking home invasion.
Yeah.
Who's been harassed that much that they've had an epileptic fit?
I know. And then wouldn't leave. Surely if you do that, you get out of there as soon as you can.
I have in the comedy scene as a woman.
We'll get to that, Edo. That'll be my first question. What's it like being a woman in comedy? But yeah.
Can you insert a really long pause there after Edo says that? Like a good 5-10 seconds of silence.
Who are these people talking? Let's meet them now. Our first guest shares her name with the Manager of Employee Relations at the University of South Australia. Can you please welcome her? It's from The Grub. It's Ann Edmonds. Yeah.
Ah, you. Do I?
Ooh. Yep.
I used to work in university administration.
Did you?
Maybe it's me. I split in half and one of me kept going and the other one went into comedy.
Which one do you reckon's happier?
The other one.
Yeah.
By far.
Hey, our next guest is a first timer to the podcast. He shares his name with a man on Twitter whose handle is Hooters. E is a 3 though. Can you please welcome us, Luke Heggie?
Yes.
Hello. G'day,
yay,
mate.
Hey, Heggie, how you doing?
Yeah, pretty well, thanks. I'm a big fan of Hooters.
Yeah, oh, so good.
The food or the tits?
Well, I go for the food, but I stay for the entertainment.
Yeah, this guy, his avatar's a Seattle Seahawks helmet as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Go the Hawks. Yeah.
So he's a real cool dude. All right. Also joining us is a man who shares his name with a Vancouver personal trainer. Can you please welcome back to the pod? It's Nazim Hussain.
No way. Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm happy with that.
That's pretty good.
Because, yeah, the only other one, there's a terrorist and another guy who's a comedian, Naz Hussain, who's a comedy promoter in Aberdeen in the UK, and he looks like me as well.
Really? Maybe it's you. Maybe you split in two.
No, we've been chatting. He actually he's been trying to get me on his lineups. Except I'm in Australia and he's in Aberdeen.
Yeah, so there's coronavirus. Stupid overseas Naz. Dumb Scottish Naz.
And finally is a man who shares his name with a senior investigator for Xbox. Can you please welcome Nick Cody?
An investigator?
What is that?
No idea, but that's what comes up on LinkedIn.
They solve crime now.
Yeah.
Wow. Is that just telling people to stop using slurs on the in-game chat playing Call of Duty?
Trying to stop all the cheat codes.
I had a friend that used
trying to stop all the nerds and make them go outside.
Because if it is Nick Cody's going to get told off by Nick Cody.
I had a friend who was like, you know, there's a kind of like a SimCity game where everyone walks around as their avatar, just living an alternative life, alternate life. Huh? Yep. Yeah. So one of my friends was like, was someone that would walk around and just and basically be like a pedo cop and just talk to people, go up to children because she could tell that they were kids and make sure that they were, you know, not getting chat up by creepy guys.
So what, he would try and chat them up, and if they were into it, or she would, sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, I forgot women can be pedophiles too.
No, so she was the pedophile.
Come on, man, it's 2020.
Going up to kids and making sure, and then if there was like a pedo guy who was virtually humping their leg or something, because they have sex in the virtual world too.
But
it's
how
probably
would
probably got nothing to do with the podcast.
No, but how would she see? How would go up to him and just ask him a few questions, see if they're ovary friendly, and
I
then
think she
tell
could
them
tell
off.
She knew the profiles of those people. She could just see, oh, this person's 14 and this person is saying that they're 14, but their language doesn't match. Oh,
okay.
Yeah. The behavior. This person is in his 40s playing a kid's video game.
Yeah.
I'll follow him around for a bit. Easy detective
how much
work.
How much does a job like that pay, just out of interest?
I don't know. I reckon it's at least $25 an hour.
It's classic entrapment.
Just anyway. Go up and talk to kids online.
All right, our first game today is called Social Meet Media. Well, I'll read out status updates by the four of you. And if you think you know who wrote them, buzz in. Your names are your buzzers. You get a point if you get it right. If you get it wrong, the person actually wrote the tweet, they get the point. So you can't buzz in for your own ones. Mm. Here we go. Just heard a woman at the pub say to the bartender, believe me, I know when my dog is having a fucking stroke. Shadow
Edo.
Missed the lead up to this. Yes, Edo.
Peggy.
No, that was Nick Cody. You're putting it for Cody.
Sucked in, Edo.
You don't have a dog, do you?
I've got a dog, yeah. It was still one of my favourite days. I just love hearing little snippets of conversation where you go, fuck, I wish I was around for the rest of that. I'll only hear that one sentence. Never see this person again.
You won't see the lead up.
I've followed people based on that exact premise. Sort of followed them to try to get the rest of it.
Just heard a snippet of their conversation and just followed.
They go into their fucking houses and you gotta quit.
Game over.
All right, question two. This was replying to Sam Newman, who was bagging out Greta Thunberg at the time. Your skits on the Footy Show were so funny. Don't let this girl get you down.
Heggy.
Maybe do a live show with you with big titties, or you could give car advice on stage with a cool car parked on the actual stage. I've seen it at the casino, but don't give up. Yes, Heggy.
That's Edo.
Yeah, it is Edo.
Having a chat with my mate, Sam Newman. He didn't reply.
If you think some people in the AFL media sphere can be a bit shit, I'm up in Queensland at the minute, so I get to hear Triple M Rugby League commentary. There was a good 15-minute chat on Saturday where one of the commentators said, mate, I told you you shouldn't have signed up. He goes, I didn't think it was going to happen. They said, you said if Gold Coast Titans won 5 in a row, you'd get a sex change. And they spoke about it for a good 15 minutes.
Wow.
15 minutes. It wouldn't end.
An important 15 minutes for the guy who made that bet.
Yeah.
More important when they auction his cock off for charity at a lunch at the end of the season.
At the Caxton.
And it attracts no bids.
Well, someone will buy it.
Yeah.
Spray paint it gold, put it out the front of Suncorp.
Get it signed by Sam Newman.
Question three. RIP Jeffrey Epstein, gone too soon. So sad. Hope it's not too long until your pervert mates join you in heaven, you beautiful angel. Last Brisbane show Sunday night. Yes, Cody.
Cody. Heggy.
It's
the
a classic
other two,
Heggy.
You don't know, every one of Heggy's tweets is an RIP tweet.
Going through today, they were so funny reading. Like, my favourite one, though, was probably the Epstein one, but also the Ben Stiller one, which was... No, Jerry Stiller. I watched... I watched Seinfeld as a kid, so this hurts me more than most.
Oh, yeah.
You actually felt a tinge of sadness there with that one.
Well, I've always just thought Twitter's for bereavement purposes. You see star fucking celebrities do it all the time. So I'll just get in there and plug my merch, that sort of thing at the end.
Do you ever get a bit of blowback?
Yeah, you do.
Oh, good.
Generally, the earlier you get onto it, the higher up something you are. So that basketballer who died in a helicopter, fucking hell. Yeah, I've got a bit for that.
You got real quick.
Well, luckily Ari Shaffir took your thunder there.
Yeah. Yeah, I was fine.
What did Ari say?
I'm not going to repeat it on here, but it's...
Oh, no.
He went into hiding. He moved cities.
What?
Wow. Really?
Yeah. That's a powerful tweet. Went hard.
All right. Question 4. Can't even call them carnies anymore. PC gone mad.
Nazim. That's an Edo.
That is an Edo, yes. Nazim's on the board. Edo.
I was replying to something though, wasn't I?
I think so, yeah. Someone said, but you replied, but then they deleted their tweet.
Oh,
it was some, yeah, because they were describing carnies as something else, like, you know, professional roaming entertainment, you know, or something. And it's just like, they're carnies. It's all, you know, like, come on. You can't even call a carny a carny.
Edo, just come up to Queensland. You're good to go. They're about 15 years away from hearing about blogs. It's,
oh, I know all about it.
Oh, it is. It's an abbreviation thing, though. I've had on high rotation at my place recently, Best of George W., and he was still using the abbreviation for Pakistani well into this century.
Australia doesn't have a problem with that yet.
Oh, no, I reckon we do now.
They do, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. When my brother first moved to London, he was saying it, and they were like, no, you cannot say that. And he's like,
yeah,
but...
Right.
When the Pakistan cricket team would come over, there'd be big billboards of it. Like, the Aussies versus... And they went, no, we just don't say it. He's like, all right, fair enough. Question 5. Egg Boy needs to come out of retirement.
Edo.
Yes, Edo.
Naz.
Yes, you are right. Yeah, point there for Edo.
You know what I hate about Egg Boy?
What?
He did a great thing, but I could tell he was a rich kid that's never been in a fight. Because he had the camera in one hand and the egg in the other, and only somebody that's never been punched would assume I don't have to defend myself after this action. It should be fucking fist up and egg, because you know as soon as it hits, you're going to have to throw some follow-ups.
I'm defending this guy. He's come to my house. I've met up with him at the local cafe because he wants to start doing stand-up. So he's a guy.
Who? Egg Boy? Soon,
Egg Boy.
Don't need him taking our ticket sales. Rack off. Guys, stick to eggs, mate.
He's going
to
be on this podcast with us at some point. So
yeah, I'll get Egg Boy on.
He now does, actually. If you go to his Instagram, he's doing motivational.
Oh.
Oh, is he?
Yep. Yes.
Well.
What a pivot. Oh.
Best part about that video is that it was a some sort of press conference situation. And if you slow it down, you can see not only Egg Boy, but two of the other blokes who are with Anning. They're wearing thongs. In a boardroom.
Classy. You should be a fan, Cody, because it's a king hit.
A king's egg.
King hit with the egg. I once introduced Nick onto stage.
Oh, it's my favourite intro ever.
As an MC, and I said, if you've ever been King Hit in Port Melbourne, it was probably this guy. Welcome to stage, Nick Cody.
How'd you go, Nick? Did you have the audience on side straight away?
Yeah, it was fun. It was a bit of tongue-in-cheek.
I loved it.
And Guy wasn't Guy, it was cunt. That was the last word of the intro. It was probably this cunt.
Edo cleaning up for the podcast. Question 6. For someone so anti-immigration, Pauline Hanson speaks like she's in week 2 of ESL.
Nick.
Yes, I mean, Nick.
Naz.
Yes, you're right. Yeah.
Of course. I fucking hate my tweets, by the way. I love Pauline. She's
No, you don't.
She sounds like every ethnic in the community, you know? They all talk like that.
I went for a swim at Redcliffe, which is like north of Brizzy about 30 minutes, and there was a bloke coming out of the beach. It was like a 27 degree day, perfect day. He's coming out of the water in a fluoro orange One Nation t-shirt. And my first thought, of course, being from Melbourne, is like, oh, that's ironic. That's pretty funny. Nobody would wear that. Seriously. And he's come, oh, I cannot, it was a perfect day. And I said, man, how is it in there? He said, oh, it's beautiful. Not a better day for it. And I said, awesome. And I went to walk in and he said, get in there now before they fucking sell it to the Chinese.
What the hell?
Oh, the beach. Dude,
do you reckon he wore it because he lost some 2-week bet or something?
No, I don't think it's his only one. I think that was his beach one. He then goes home and he's
so
got different ones.
A skin tight onesie, like a wetsuit.
One Nation onesie. Yeah.
But plus, when the Chinese come and buy stuff in Queensland, they don't get everyone that's there at the time as well. Like, you've got to know that. You don't get all the inhabitants of the shopping centre you buy. Nah.
Otherwise, you wouldn't buy it. Yeah. You got all those drongos.
Next question. This was written March 11 this year.
Yeah.
There's an impro troupe warming up in the next dressing room, and now I wish the government had cancelled all shows everywhere from yesterday.
Nazeem.
Yes, Nazeem.
That's a Cody.
That is Nick Cody, yeah. Point
yes.
Yeah.
What is your problem with improv comedians? No, well, I'm with you, actually.
Lose that last word.
lose the last word.
To warm up to improvise is just funny to me. I don't know. And they're never negative about it.
Nah.
They're never, fuck, I hope this goes well. They're always, this will be great. And then afterwards, this is great. I think Becky Lucas in Edinburgh had to share a backstage with this British impro troupe, so even worse. And she said every day they were happy, 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 until one day she said they were the saddest group.
Oh,
and
great.
It made her entire fringe. She said it was worth it.
It's because it's bordering on religion. It's got religious sort of
it's
vibes,
cult-like.
Isn't it? It's,
oh,
yeah.
It's, yeah. Got, it's real Stedford-y. It's sort of.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't have any idea when they're bombing because it's just fucking noise. Like, until they get attacked. Those ones Becky saw, they must have been attacked or egged or something, because there's no way they'd fucking know that people hate them. They got no
Egg
idea.
Egg Boy finished his show and then went round there. Gave him a
King
couple.
Hit them.
King
hit
them.
What is
I would,
it?
Well,
like,
pay
they have
him
to say words, don't they? They have to say, they go around passing a word to each other.
Yeah, you see them all the time, handballing a word, and they're just saying it, and then they're all, like, patting each other on the back, and then end with a big group hug, and then they get out there and entertain the masses.
They fucking do 1-2-3 team like they're the Lakers or something.
There must be rooting going on though.
Yeah. Yeah, even nerds root these days, if you can believe that. Thanks to the internet.
I'd pay Egg Boy to egg an impro troupe like Cameo. I wonder if you could just pay him.
Just pay him.
Like corporate jobs.
He would make so much.
Got a corporate for you.
I think he doesn't like being called Egg Boy. He's got a name, which
He's been to your house now, so you will know it off the top of your head. Not
I didn't know
up
you
on
were,
your phone.
I didn't, why don't you marry him, Naz?
Will Connolly, obviously. William Connolly.
Okay.
And if you look at his Instagram bio, no reference to eggs at all.
Spiritual.
He wants to move away from the eggs.
Spiritual evolution of the human race. Expand your emoji of the brain. Magic frequencies, anxiety, depression, 396HZ, which is, what's that, hertz? Yeah? For more confidence, 528 hertz. Love vibe, 639.
Nah, he sounds what's like he enjoying the impro troupe. He's not going to egg him. That's
Man, wait till he's 3 days into a festival and no one's coming. He'll be calling himself Egg Boy. Eggy Egg Boy and the adventures of my egging days as Egg Boy. Get in here, everyone. I'm Egg Boy.
Screaming
in, everyone
it in
takes
the street.
An egg on the way
I'm
in.
Egg Boy.
Yeah.
You could only pray for an egg, like any kind of egg branding when you're new.
Herald
Just
Sun.
Anything.
Herald Sun photo laying in a chicken coop. With a mic wrapped around his dick and a fucking egg hat.
Well, there's a chicken laying an egg on his face.
Yeah, he shows William Connolly what came first, the chicken or the egg boy.
Well, I feel bad. Like, even under all of his spiritual posts, people are just like, there's just heaps of
egg
comments. Just egg-related comments.
And his first show, the last line is, and that's when I became an egg man. And that's...
I mean, he should be getting egg sponsorships. He's wasting it. As you say, in 5 years' time, he'll be begging for an egg sponsorship.
All right, question 8. Congratulations to all the comedians who worked tirelessly to achieve this impeachment. Also, a big pat on the back for me for never really liking Trump either. We did it, guys.
Nazeem.
Yeah.
Yes, Nazeem.
Tom Ballard.
Point there for Luke Heggie. That was Heggie, yeah.
Yes.
You've changed.
I
thought you were just, you know, your Labour turned comedian.
What? Well, was it?
No, so you're intelligentsia, you're up there using your big words, satirical.
Political
oh, no.
tweets.
I don't care about the Trump thing. I was just jumping on because comedians achieve a lot through through their words. I just want to congratulate them for doing it.
They are the go-to for intellectual, you know, like when you want to think, when you want to know something, that's where I turn.
Yeah. Oh, without us, nothing to get done.
I wouldn't even know that plastic bags were bad if it wasn't for Tim Minchin.
Oh, remember the Bad in the Bag campaign? With the project started that. Or they did, and I remember they asked me to come and do a, like a 10-second Bad in the Bag, and I did it. And I came home and I just continued my life as usual. And then I was hanging out with Waleed one day, and he literally like never used bags after that. And I was like, what? Oh, you did that campaign and you actually do what you say you're going to do. It was just a gig for me. I think I got paid $200. And
you went home and got 8 plastic bags, went down to the Yarra and just chucked them in.
Just found dolphins and tied it around their necks.
Question 9. He copped a lot of flack, but I'm glad Scott Morrison took that holiday. You can tell it re-energised him by the way he immediately got straight back to the task of doing sweet fuck all.
Nick.
Yes, Nick.
Naz.
Yes, oh, that is Nazim. Yeah.
Just after political.
Yeah.
The best thing, I knew that tweet was coming up next too, Naz, and I was just letting you dig yourself into a hole.
I didn't even buzz in because I thought that's too obvious. Yeah. Obvious. He's just been giving me shit. There's no way he could be that much of a fucking hypocrite. No way. Here he is.
I'm just projecting, Luke.
I did feel bad there. That was running into the goal square and just fucking torping it out of the stadium.
Was that Tony Abbott? Who was it?
Scott Morrison.
Scott Morrison. Okay.
You can just substitute whoever in there. That's a timeless tweet.
John Howard?
Yeah.
Is he dead?
No, he's not.
George Bush? What about him? Any George Bush tweets lately? Anyone tweeting about him? Is he trending?
Which one?
Just
Junior,
George Bush, you know,
big guy.
WRH.
Senior's dead.
No, is he?
Senior's
that one.
Yeah, you haven't been reading my tweets, Edo.
No. I muted you, but I find it very offensive.
His bereavement tweets.
Our last
question. I didn't know Senior was dead. Good times.
Our last question for this round. Every fucked uncle at Christmas was once the guy you know, now in his late 30s, getting around saying, "No, I don't want a relationship. Notice the warning signs early. Take action now."
Heggie.
Yes, Heggie.
That is Edo.
That is Edo. Yeah, put there for Heggie. Yeah.
Yeah. That's, yeah, because guys go along in their 30s and then they don't realize what's around the corner, which is their mid 40s.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Let alone their 50s. And things are going to take a dive really quickly and they're going to be scrambling back for those relationships in their 30s. They're just, oh, no, I don't want a relationship. I'm, you know, I'm cool. And he's like,
I saw it at the park. I saw it at the park
really?
Before with my son. Yeah, like a 55-year-old bloke with a 2-year-old. You go, you're fucked, man. You are fucked.
I'm going to guess that second marriage, though, Heggy. I mean, Cody.
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably, maybe.
Yeah.
But I think you got to do it. It's kind of cool in your 30s. Come your 40s, you don't want to be getting around saying, I don't want a relationship. Just get into a relationship ASAP. Your hair's coming out.
I reckon 30s, 40s is that weird time because I was thinking about this the other day on my walk about heroin. Like, heroin.
Should I try it?
Well,
yes.
In your 20s, cool.
Is it ever cool in your 20s,
cool.
Heroin?
Never cool.
I reckon.
Oh, Josh Hill's a music fan.
I reckon you could be in your 20s, early 20s, you're doing it. Someone
do
goes,
heroin.
Yeah. 30s, wow, that's serious. That's okay. Mm. All right, you're seriously. 40s, that's you can't do it. 50s, it's really sad. 60s becomes cool again.
Oh,
you
reckon? Fleety's almost back. Yeah. Fleety's a few years away from. That's unbelievable.
Push through.
Still doing it in your 60s. Fucking hell. Taking out your pension cash to get some horse. That's a bad time.
But, oh boy!
But if you've gone 40 years with it, you're like, all right, well, this is what you do now. Like, and you've survived 40 years with it. Don't change.
You've got your investment property, cash that in. If you're positively geared by then, you've got the cash coming in.
You're geared,
not bad.
But
yeah,
it's...
you're geared, ready to go. I think that's probably the right age. 60s, that's the time to do it all because you're probably retired. You got the time. You're not going to lose a job. Your partner's not going to leave you. Your kids are out of the house now. Perfect.
Well, I've started trying. I never took drugs because of an incident I had where I smoked a couple of bongs and I thought that that green cheese stick in Ascot Vale over the freeway was trying to attack me. So I laid off the drugs for like 15 years.
Yeah.
And then suddenly in my late 30s, I was like, I'm going to have a go at all. I'm going to have a go at these. And I got, but I went, you know, got on the pingers and the,
See, I've never done that. I've never done a pinger, never done shrooms or acid or.
Yeah. I don't know. It was good. I'm not going to do it anymore because I, you know, I think my, my mind might be deteriorating, but it was a little spell I had. I think it's a good time to do it. Why not?
Yeah. You're probably more responsible at that point.
Yeah.
And you got more cash.
Mm.
Anyway. All right, at the end of the
Cheers.
Round.
Cheers.
End of the round. The scores are Edo, you're on 2 points. Heggy, you're also on 2 points. Nazim, you're on 2 points. But in front on 4 points is Nick Cody.
Woo. Good on you.
All right, this round, it's called 9 to 5, What a Way to Make a Living. Now, this round, we're talking about paying the bills. And according to one guest, they've had over 70 different jobs. And today we're going to talk about Luke Heggy. Now, what was one of his jobs that he would do, and during the job, he would do this just for his own amusement? Was it A, he had a job restocking Coke vending machines, and in every machine he restocked, he would put one can of regular Coke in the Diet Coke section. Was it B, he was a moderator for a phone introduction line? This was before the internet. His job was to listen to people to try and pick each other up. If a guy was a dick, Heggy would take the number down, cut the phone call off, and when the guy would call again, he would match him up with other dudes until he stopped calling. Or C, he had a job as a snowmaker. Once a month, he would take the machine and cover his co-worker's car with it. The guy complained to his boss, so Heggy stole the guy's boots and threw them over the power lines. Now, one of these is true. You can ask Heggy as many questions as you want to get the truth, but bear in mind, he wants you to get it wrong, so he gets your point. Floor's open for questions. Ask away.
I know it.
I know it too.
Do you know?
I feel like I know it.
Well, let's ask some questions.
So you worked at a phone, at an adult romantic phone line thing.
Yeah.
What's it called?
Well, it's called Telecafe in the mid-90s.
Oh, yeah.
Telecafe. How much was it a minute?
Oh, I don't know. I never rang it up. The chicks didn't have to pay. So there you go. You complain about all sorts of stuff, but you get free phone calls to things like that. But the blokes were paying probably about $2 a minute, I think, around that sort of ballpark figure.
And did you have to go in there to do the job, or could you do it from home, or like what was the setup?
Oh, no, I'd go in there. I was in the city in Brisbane in this office, and I'd work midnight till 8 o'clock. I fucking loved it. Still probably right up there with the best jobs.
So you just listen to people hit on each other. What was when do they cross the line? What sorts of things would they have to say?
Well, I was there, you had to have a moderator because people ring up and say, you know, oh, my name's Nazim. I like long walks on the beach, romantic candlelit dinners. You go, yeah, whatever. Put them through onto the system. And then they're through.
Yeah, whatever.
They can listen to all the chicks doing their ones. But if you ring up and go, my name's Nazim, I've got a massive schlong, I'm going to fucking do some disgusting stuff. You go, okay, hang on, mate. It's not for that. You've got to be cool until you get to know these people.
You've got to be cool to be in this cafe.
Yeah. So I had all these options where you could cut people off, but I could also pull the mic down and just tell them to fuck off if I wanted to. And there was no supervision.
And the Coke machines, what were you like? Were you responsible for different machines in different buildings, or what was the setup?
Yeah, I had to go around to a bunch of machines. I was never going to see the outcome of this as a prank, but I just thought all those, probably before my time, to be honest, all those white cans there in a line, I thought I'd chuck a red one in, get some diversity happening in the Coke line. And this is
so woke.
This is in the 90s, before this was even trendy.
The woke vending machine guy.
Yeah. But I also thought, you know what, you're on a fucking diet, don't drink Coke. Grow up.
Hey, where did you make snow, Heggy?
Where or when?
Well, both. Let's go both.
Yeah.
It was about 2004 in New Zealand. I had a, it was a sick job. Again, a night job. I was working like 4 p.m. till about 8 a.m. out just fixing the machines and blowing cold air, like water and these little particles up into the air to make snow. Sick.
What are the particles? Is this what Steve Fuse is always talking about? Facebook, is that changing the weather with the plane?
Chemtrails.
Is that chemtrails? Is that what you were doing?
little bits of petrol. No, it's actually these packets of these tiny little, they're actually bugs. They're actually dead. Little tiny little insect things.
Like sea monkeys?
Bit like that, yeah. They were dead. Like sea monkeys when you get them in the mail. and you sort of tip a bag of them. They cost a lot of money. You tip a bag of them into the thing down near the dam, the machine. It'd pump through the, you know, that's your water supply for the snow machines. But I work with this guy. He's a fucking prick. And his name was Bryant, like with a T on the end.
What?
Like the killer.
Yeah, like that, but that was his first name. So I thought, Jesus. I'm not having that.
You quit because of the T.
Well, no, I didn't quit. I just started hassling him. And I put a machine on his car. But it's quite a lot of work. You got to, they're big machines. It's not like a gun or something. You got to sort of drag it behind a skidoo. Point at the back of the car. Leave
drag it,
for an hour.
Behind a skidoo.
What's a skidoo?
A fucking like a jet ski for the snow. Snow machine.
Oh my God.
Snowmobile.
So you hated this guy that much
that you drove a skidoo?
Well, not
that's
that
how much you hated him.
I didn't bash him or anything, but and then I'd have to pull the machine around the side of the car and leave it there for an hour, and then around the front. That took 4 hours to cover his car.
This is in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
Shit.
Well, I know which option I'm taking.
All right, we'll go. Okay, Nazim, what do you reckon? I'll go you first.
I reckon it's the phone, the cafe thing.
Are you in the cafe thing?
Yeah.
Okay. Edo then.
Snow.
And Nick Cody.
Coke machine.
The correct answer was A, the Coke machine.
Oh.
Whoa. So 2 points for Heggy, 1 point for Cody.
Yes.
I just know that I just went with that one because I know how vindictive and... Heggie can be.
Yeah,
I'm learning. I'm learning.
And if you cross him,
most of Heggie's pranks, he's not there to see the reveal. He's a true lunatic like that. He doesn't care. He just knows it'll happen in the future. Whereas I'd be sitting next to the fucking vending machine for a week.
Yeah,
watching. Yeah, he's like the sort of guy that sets something on fire that at the end of a movie just walks away, not even looking at the explosion behind him.
Yeah, I don't look back. You should see our 10-pin bowl. Just chuck it, turn around, walk back, keep an ear out.
I'm also glad, first time on the show, and I think I've got his voice down. If Edo and Nazim thinks it was the other ones, that's good.
I'm learning about you, so you're a bit of a... You're a bit.
Yeah,
don't cross it and cross it.
Bit what, Nazim?
Yeah.
Oh, exactly. I got a great guy.
Enigma is what you're going to say.
He's aggressive. Got a wealth of experiences.
I think you might want to watch what you say. Yeah.
He's literally zooming from the darkest route. Like, I know. Like underground or maybe in custody.
You look like that guy from that game Nightmare.
Yeah, look, it's where they film Saw. He's on the fucking bathroom floor. You think he's dead the whole time.
No, it's like when they got Saddam out of his bunker.
SAS are going to tear a roof off in a second and drag him out.
I didn't see any tweet from you about that, by the way, Heggie. Anyway, I'll talk about that off air.
Saddam.
At the end of the round, the scores are Edo still on 2 points, Nazim still on 2 points, Heggie now on 4 points, and Cody in front still on 5 points.
Woo! Do you put claps in or?
No, I should, shouldn't I? I think I did on the second episode.
Mate, do you need
it, Josh? What am I doing that?
Hey,
do I need
Jill,
claps?
Need a bit of this.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, you do that.
Triple M.
Do that every time you get a point, Cody, and we'll say it's your home ground.
Sick.
All right, this round is called Yeah, Nah, Yeah. In this round, each of you are given a fact about another person on the panel. Everything is true, you say yeah. Everything's a lie, you say nah. If you get it right, you get a point. If you get incorrect, the person who the fact may or may not be about, they get your point. So ask them questions, try and get the truth. Okay, so to Luke now. Nazim freaked his mum out by sending an AR video of a tiger in his house. She was so scared for his life that she broke quarantine lockdown, went to the supermarket, spent over $100 on cheap steak, left it on his doorstep and then drove back home. When he told her it was just a joke, she got very angry and told him, do not waste that meat. So now he has a freezer full of cheap meat and he doesn't know what to do with. Yeah or nah, you can ask him questions.
All right. First things first, what's AR?
Augmented reality. So it's, if you actually Google, say, tiger on your phone, on your smartphone, you scroll down like a few centimeters and it says view in 3D. You click on that and then it's basically your camera app. It, you know, in your own surroundings, you can see the, like a pretend digital tiger.
Just walking around. So you can record that what you're doing.
Yeah.
And is it that realistic? Is it really
It's unbelievably realistic to the point that
there are some really good ones.
Some really good ones. It's great. Like you can have a shark swimming around your lounge as well. But the tiger legitimately looks like it was walking around my house. Sent it to my mum. She freaked out. Sent me a series of text messages. I just thought she'd find it like kind of interesting. But she genuinely thought there's a tiger in my house.
Did you send a message with it?
Yeah, I sent it in the Hussein family WhatsApp group, and then she said, "Oh my God, so you really got a tiger at home?" I said, "Yes, I told you it's safe, not a lethal one. He was trained. Only have him for a week." She said, "Is it a toy or a real tiger?" I said, "Real, but he's friendly." She said, "I want to come and see him. How do you know he's safe?" I said, "Because I said so. So long as I give him his daily medicine, he shouldn't bite anyone." She said, "Why do you take chances in your life? You can die. He can bite you." Zabi, my stepdad, says, "You must be crazy. What happens if the tiger gets mood swings?" I said, "Don't worry about it. There's videos on YouTube about how to care for the tiger. Should be okay." "And it's lonely in isolation. And it's lonely in isolation by myself." And she said, "Close your bedroom door when you sleep and feed him well. You're stupid. Don't take chances." I said, "He sometimes sleeps on my bed." And then she said, "Oh my God, don't do that." My sister said, "Make sure you wipe his paws. If he goes outside, he might carry corona inside the house." I said, "Don't let him out or I'll get in trouble. The police will probably shoot him." Anyway,
your sister's just winding up your mum and your sister.
Yeah. And then my older sister, who's normally pretty straight and boring, she said, "Make sure he doesn't eat all your food when you're sleeping." And then I basically said, "Crap, I've run out of meat for him and there's none at the supermarket," because that's whenever I was hoarding toilet paper and meat. And I said, "He's jumping on the kitchen table." And that's when my mum rang me and freaked out. And I mean, here's a voice message if you
"He won't bite you, so you be very careful. I don't know, I'm just very worried about you. I don't know why you take this chance of bringing tigers into the house. You know, I don't know what to tell you, Nazim. Okay, just get rid of the shit. Lock him in the toilet. That's all I'm telling you."
So,
where does she think you got this tiger from? Like, you can't just get him. Like, what is she?
I think the thing with, like, once someone is emotionally hooked in, they sort of they don't know why they believe in it. Like, like other religions,
like Pete Evans. Other religions.
Catholicism.
Did she really write "you're stupid"?
Yeah. Like
those words? Sick.
Yeah.
I never heard that from my mum.
Was this during Ramadan, Naz? Is this like they're just, you haven't had brekkie and you're a bit fucking foggy after lunch? You can get away with this stuff?
Yeah, my mum comes that from Sri Lanka.
There's no way.
You can do all sorts of stuff in Sri Lanka. People have monkeys and, you know, you go to Dubai, people are riding around in friggin' with like exotic cats in their pasture. And I have a lot of weird friends that just, I think she might have just thought that, you know, I live a weird life. You know, I'm a comedian. We do all sorts of silly things. She probably thought it was part of the
thing.
I've never
lived
with a tiger.
You
don't drink and you do piano lessons. Like, relax.
Man,
I would have a loose unit.
Older, it's so outlandish. I would have immediately said no, but it's so fucking elaborate and you've got all the shit there. And there's no way you went to all this effort. You've been at work today. So I'm going to say yeah.
Heggy, unfortunately, that was a lie, although half of it was true. His mum didn't break lockdown and give him meat. He doesn't have a meat full of, like, a freezer full of meat.
No, she basically... Yeah.
Oh, that's the only thing.
Yeah, but the rest of it is true.
Oh, okay.
She didn't break curfew, but she believed it. And then she tried to explain to her family overseas the prank that I played on her. But she couldn't explain it properly, and then they thought that I didn't have a tiger in my house. And they were like, "Oh, okay, you can do that in Australia."
And if there's anything I know, any of my mates whose parents were born overseas, they'd come in and fight the fucking animal. They don't play around. Immigrant parents don't fuck around. They're not dropping meat off and leaving. It's on.
Also, I've had a weird that, like, she just said, "Lock him in the toilet." She didn't say, "Get out of the house."
Yeah,
she just said, "Oh, yeah, what am I supposed to do? I could just never go to the toilet again." Imagine when he gets out eventually, he's going to be pretty, pretty upset.
Mm. Right, like a Labrador pup. Yeah.
Point there for Naz. Okay, so to Nazim. The first time Nick went out to a club, his drink of choice was vodka and Red Bull. He ended up drinking about 10 of them, and then when he got home, he couldn't sleep or stop shaking. He woke his mum up, who suspected he may have been drugged. When she asked him what he drank, he told her, "You said I had about 10 vodka and Red Bulls." She laughed and said, "Well, you're going to be awake for the next 2 days, so go do some housework." And then she went back to sleep. Yeah or nah?
I'm going to say, yeah. That is, well, questions. Hang on. Questions,
yeah.
Questions.
Thank you.
So,
Hurtful. So, just to go straight to yeah.
I mean, there's a reason why you've quit drinking for 1 year. You've got a problem, or you had a problem. And
this was the first time you drank, though.
The problem was breakfast radio and a fucking baby. If I didn't have those two, I'd be maggot now.
So how many vodka and Red Bulls did you
10.
Have?
10. Okay. They had it on spec. It was like $2 pots of beer or $3 vodka Red Bulls.
And so, is that better value as
losing
well?
Money.
I've been down this road before myself. I know all about this.
Naz, you don't drink, but that is still a lot of... It's a lot of Red Bull. Yeah. Don't worry about the vodka. That's just too much Red Bull.
Yeah, it's too much Red Bull.
That's a lot of Red Bull. I mean, so how old were you?
18. Would have been a couple of months after I turned 18.
So how'd you get cash just generally at the time? Because that's $30 that you were spending.
$30, but I was working at a pub.
Okay. Oh, so you...
Just watching
never drank
people
at the pub.
That have a drinking problem and not learning from my, you know, 8-hour shifts there. Just that's going out and getting wrecked.
Did you then stay up 2 nights in a row?
No, I probably fell asleep maybe 7 in the morning, but just the shittest sleep. And just wake up with sore teeth and your stomach. It's not the vodka. Out of that drink, the vodka's not the issue.
Mm.
It's too much of the Red Bull. No good. Well, and it probably wasn't even legit Red Bull. If you're doing $3 vodka Red Bulls, you're getting fake vodka and fake Red Bull.
Bit of Raz.
What time did you finish up there?
Oh, it wouldn't have been too late because I didn't... I probably got home just after 12, I reckon.
Mm. So did you do any chores?
No, fuck no.
What did you do till 7 o'clock?
Just laid on the couch with a sore belly.
That's quite cute. That's adorable.
Yeah. Checks out.
So it kind of does check. This all. I mean, none of this seems out of character for Nick. You're a bargain hunter, and
is he?
Hold on, are you calling me a tight-ass alcoholic?
He's a cheapskate.
Bargain. If anyone ever calls me a bargain hunter, that's it.
I'm coming back to Victoria to fight Naz.
A bargain hunter. Oh.
That's the worst thing I've ever been called.
You get around to garage sales looking for bargains. Yeah.
Get there half hour before they actually open.
Half an hour before a garage.
I was selling a mattress, a second-hand mattress.
You shouldn't have been doing that. Rank. Rank.
And... And the guy said, all right, I'll take this one. And if you've got any more, I'll take them as well.
You got more mattresses.
I'm like, what do you think? I'm not a shop. I'm like, I'm a dude. Like, I don't have any more mattresses. No.
What is he?
Sorry,
he
boys,
probably...
you're on the floor. I had to do a 3-for-1.
They don't happen anymore, do they? Because of, Facebook Marketplace.
Should,
and that.
It should never have happened.
No,
buying
it's
a
wrong.
Secondhand mattress is one of the saddest things I've ever.
So, yeah.
You going to say
yeah? Yeah.
Nazim, you are incorrect. That was a lie. Point.
So
really?
Oh, no, point to Cody. Yeah.
Hey,
it
Jill,
sounds a lot like Cody's mum to me.
Yeah.
No, I'll tell you an actual true story around that time. I went to a comedy night with a mate. We were 18. The comedy night was at Crown. It was $2 pots of Stella. Oof. I got maggot. My phone died. I called my dad from a payphone in the city. He had to come in and get me. There were no more trains. Vomited all the way home. It was the middle of winter. When I got home, Mum sprayed me with the hose on the front lawn and made me clean the car. And the next morning, I was doing like an admin job in the city. I caught a train in, but the guy I was doing the job with, we'd look after it. If someone was hungover, it'd be like, mate, you go, I'll sign you out so you still get full pay. I was at Flagstaff Station, 9:15 in the morning, just looking green. There was about 6 people on the platform. And a kid, probably early 20s, came down the escalator. He had Down syndrome. And he went person to person, giving them the gladiator thumb, you know, the sideways thumb. And he gave the other 5 people thumbs up. And then he got to me and gave me a thumbs down.
That's where you were at.
Yeah, that's where I was at. I was the only one to get a thumbs down. That really hurt.
All right. So to Nick now, when Edo was at uni, she entered a karaoke contest where the first prize was $500. Edo didn't want to enter, but really wanted the money. Edo was embarrassed, so she didn't tell anyone she was going in it. When she got there, though, she was told it was decided by the audience, and some human movement guy had stacked the crowd so he would win. Oh. Halfway through Edo's song, she just thought, fuck this, and started ending every line with, human movement sucks, or human movement isn't a real degree. Due to this, she ended up winning, but spent half the money that night getting drunk with all the human movement students. Yeah or nah?
Oh. So $500. What song did you sing, Edo?
Working Class Man.
Yeah. I think that's a good song for somebody that can actually sing. And you can sing.
It's also a good song for a karaoke competition because people like it. They'll join in.
Yeah, and as you say, Nazim, human movement sucks. $500, big money back then. I was in.
Big money now.
That's true.
For Nick, because he's a bargain hunter.
Yeah, they're doing it this year.
So bargain hunter, the gentleman's tight ass.
Bargain hunter is the fucking worst thing I've ever been called. That is atrocious. Is. I'm not that at all. I'll cop the alcoholic. I won't cop the bargain hunter.
Man, I'm still unclear on what the fuck human movements is.
Yeah, what is human movement?
Human movement is like, it's like a poor man's physio. Like if you can't get into physio, you're doing
which
human
is already,
movement.
You know.
Yeah, which is,
not a doctor.
Stretching.
It's for people who get to end of high school but still want to do PE. So I'll do 3 years of this and then I'll do 1 year of a Bachelor of Teaching and then I'll be a PE teacher.
Yeah.
Or, like a personal trainer but just a fucking trainer.
Yeah.
But you can't lift weights. Yeah. So you do human movement.
I don't even know if it exists. I wonder if it still exists, the old Bachelor of Human Movement.
Oh, of course it would. Money. It's just a cash grab, most of those things. Now, you say uni, but you've got more TAFE vibes about you, Edo. What TAFE was it? What uni were you at?
No, I was at Melbourne Uni, believe it or not.
Oh,
human movement at Melbourne Uni.
Yes. Oh.
That's
people spending $40,000 a year to blow a whistle.
Yeah.
Well, so what jobs do they get as a human movementist?
PE teacher or personal trainer or like if they're, you know, there'd be one in the whole course that gets to go and work like for the Olympics.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But the rest are still like they're voting for ScoMo as we speak.
They're coaching netball.
Having a degree from University of Melbourne would look great on the wall until they do look a bit closer and see human movement. Yeah. It's like having an A-class Mercedes. You go, fucking hell. All right, the first badge is good, but this is a bubble. You should have just got a fucking Mazda 121. Who else entered the competition? Do you remember what other people sang? A lot of crowd favourites?
There was your standard kind of horrible. I don't know if you know anything about Melbourne Uni. It's a place full of absolute cunts.
it's so Ronnie just, Cheng's old university.
Oh well, interestingly, Ronnie and I both went to Melbourne Uni, and anytime I get the magazine from there, or he's just splashed. He's just alumni number one. Yeah. I've never been mentioned as an alum. Like they deny that I'm alumni. They're denying me. But,
a lot of impro troops come from there.
I realise I'm fading into darkness here. Yeah, I need to turn the light on.
Do you need the $500 now to turn your lights on? Like,
I look like Peter Dutton in that famous
photo.
Edo, when you're on the front, do you think the title will be Crazy Paul White?
I don't know, but so just your standard boat shoe wearing. You know, commerce student with jeans and boat shoes, and they live in college, even though they're from Brighton. They move into college.
Can I just go back? Crazy bitch Caucasians.
Yes. There you go, Jill. That's why you're the host. I'm going to say yes, just because I want to live in a world where Edo dished out that justice.
Me too, Nick, but it was a nah. That was not a true story. Point there for Edo.
Oh, Edo studied human movement.
To Edo. Now, when Heggy was at school, he was in a science class one day when they were learning about electricity. He was asked to stand on a rubber mat and place his hands on a generator for 5 minutes. As he was standing there, while the teacher was explaining what was happening, Heggy thought it'd be funny if he took one hand off and touched the teacher's ear. The teacher got electrocuted and went absolutely nuts at Luke. Yeah or nah?
Firstly, I think electrocuted means to die by electric shock.
Oh, well, he was. What's the word for not
sustained an electric shock or something?
Yeah, there you go. He was shocked.
Oh, sorry, guys. Pick you up on that.
Loose unit, Nazim. Back at it.
Now, Heggy, I feel like I know this about you. Weirdly, you went to a good school.
Yeah, it's good. It was a Catholic boys' school, if that's good.
But don't you have like other? Don't you have famous friends that went there? That or don't you have some famous mate that went there?
Oh yeah, that doesn't make it a good school.
who's that? Could be famous for bad reasons.
No. Oh, there are some who are famous for bad reasons. But no, it's Ginsberg, Osher. He and I went to school together.
But so maybe that makes me think that it was like a well-to-do school. But that's as you say, it's not necessarily the case.
It was fine. The school was fine. It was a private boys' school, but it wasn't your $50,000 style one. It was bottom end because it was Catholic and back then.
De La Salle in Melbourne.
Yes. Well, where I went to school. And
Catholics
used
to be a little less business, and they'd look after poor kids a bit. That was fine.
And so science class, what year are we talking about here?
Year 10.
Year 10. So and the teacher was called?
Mr. Celigardo, Ray.
Mr. Ray.
We called him Cinzano, if you must know.
And so you were, what kind of experiment with, like, I feel like this is an experiment. I'm not surprised it was at a private boys' school because it's bordering on torture.
No, it wasn't torture at all. They had this, like, a pole with a big metal ball on top. It looked like it was from the 50s an experiment. It's called a Van de Graaff. And they had, you put your hands on it, stand on a rubber mat, and your hair stands up.
And I got picked to do it.
I had the straightest hair, so I had to do it. And my hair just, like, gradually over 5 minutes just went real. It was pretty funny.
We had to go to Science Works for that in Melbourne.
Yeah, yeah, I'm about to go so I had to cross the bridge to Nick's side.
Yeah.
You'd have your own ball. and then he came over and was like, what, like, and then you just reached out and...
Oh, he continued to teach at his desk just next to this. And I was looking like Yahoo Serious. And yeah, everyone's sort of looking at me, but he kept teaching. He just goes, just do it 5 minutes, see what happens. And I feel it in my eyebrows and shit, and ear hairs are standing up, everything. And then I just sort of took one hand off, put it near his ear. Didn't even have to touch his ear, just got near it. And this spark came out, just
jumped it.
Got him. He hit.
The divine spark.
Did he scream?
Yes. Cinzano hit the roof. Yeah.
And what was the response like from the crowd?
Yeah, did you get a good laugh?
Did you get the cane?
He wasn't one of those violent ones. He wasn't a Christian brother. So
yeah.
And violence was just on the wane. It was like 1990, so they couldn't really flog you in front of anyone. I got a lot of detention.
Yeah.
But no, he wasn't a violent man. He did sort of wasn't taken in the spirit it was intended quite, but he was a better he's a better all sport right. than most. Crowd favourite, though. Kids loved it.
Thank you. I'm going to still say nah.
Edo, you are incorrect. That was a true story.
I thought he hesitated on the when I said what grade and he said Channel 10. I thought I sniffed a hesitation.
Deliberately did that.
He played me. Played me.
Yeah. I played violin. You well. Yeah. And I didn't say Channel 10. You did. Yeah.
It's a great
stop plugging your fucking shows, Edo.
Did I say Channel 10? I might add too many gins.
Edo's the fourth tonight on the project. Tune in. All right, at the end of that round, the scores are Edo, 3 points. Nazim, 3 points. Heggy, 5 points, but still in the lead on 6 points is Nick Cody.
Bloody hell.
Anyway, this round is called Who. In this round, I'll read out 10 questions about you four. If you think you know who it is, buzz in. Your names, your buzzers. Can't buzz in for your own ones. You get a point if you get right, point off if you get wrong. Only round you can lose points. Mm-hmm. So here we go. Who here watched Steve Martin eat cheese?
Edo.
Yes, Edo.
Heggy.
No, that was Nick Cody. Watched Steve Martin eat some cheese.
I'm losing points.
Suncorp Stadium.
Really?
Yeah, for the U2, I had to take some Triple M listeners into a corporate box, which is wow.
Wow.
And Steve Martin and Martin Short were in the corporate box next door. And I looked over at one point and one of the Triple M listeners had just left our corporate box, just went into his and took a selfie with him. I've never seen a man so angry, but trapped.
That's
and then
amazing.
While you two were playing, all the lights went down and the boxes and everything, and I saw Steve Martin have his phone torch on, looking through sausage rolls and stuff. It was so sad. How much do you have to achieve in life to not fucking do that?
I love a sausage roll. I'd be doing it. I'll do it to the day I die. A mini
You'd
sausage roll.
You'd be able to
roll.
Smell a sausage roll out on a plate, though. You don't need to put a light on. You can smell them. Mm. All right, next question. Who here jumped in the Yarra dressed as a kebab?
Nick.
Yes, Nick.
Naz.
Yes, he did. King of Moomba.
Oh, yeah. I forgot you were the King of Moomba. How'd that go?
What do you mean, was?
You'll be the last one. Right, they're not going to have another Moomba festival for a few years.
Oh, didn't it? Did it get cancelled?
It's right there, mate. No. We did the parade just as people were cottoning on to Corona. The vibe back then was, oh, we're all going to get it. So 50,000 people turned out instead of the usual 80, because 30,000 people just couldn't harden up and do it. No, but it was just at the a week later, everything got cancelled. So.
Well, I can't believe
the Moomba Festival is it's the water festival. It's like celebrates the Yarra River in Melbourne. That's
is that what it's for?
Yeah, and every year they nominate a king and queen.
Yeah, it's basically I don't even know what it is. It's a free. Actually, Nick, you should be across this. It's Australia's largest free.
I will not cop this.
I don't know how I've started this new rumor about Nick. Nick is such a tight ass for no reason. Absolutely, I'm pretty sure you probably paid for coffees for me, and I'm probably in debt to you. Edit that bit out, Josh.
No. I'm not editing anything out.
Yeah, so jumped in as a kebab. And
what's involved in a kebab suit? Like, is it a big spongy kebab suit, or it's just...
It was a spongy kebab suit, and they this costume maker spent like a week making it, and then I just jumped in the Yarra and...
Was that Birdman?
Yeah, Birdman rally. So you try and jump across the Yarra.
No one ever makes it.
But people spend a lot of time making these full-on things. But apparently all the organisers are like, literally, you literally cannot make it across this... No way you can, but people believe they can every year.
Mm. Well, after hearing that,
you'd really injure yourself if you did actually make it.
Yeah,
not a great idea.
Not a good idea.
Next question: who here, as a teenager, once got hit by their boss, but just thought that's what people do at work?
Nick,
Heggy.
I heard Nick first.
Edo.
Yeah, it was Edo. Yeah.
The woman who ran the bakery I worked for in Strathmore. I got a job 49 months, loved it. And she finally, like, she upgraded me to, like, top, I think it was called top girl. And I was top girl, which is like managing. You got the keys.
It's like Hooters.
She left for the day and I like turned the music on out the back with the other girls and I was like, let's just have a party, and was like dancing on the stainless steel benches. And anyway, one of her mates turned up in the shop and came out the back and busted me and reported back, mole. And then the next day she came in and she came up to me and she pointed at me and she said, did you do this? And I said, yes. And she just slapped me across the face so hard. And I just went, yeah, fair cop. Like,
that is so insane that she had like probably a night to think about it and then still angry enough to hit you. Like,
yeah. But back then I was like, yeah, no, I've done the wrong. I knew I'd done the wrong thing. And fair, like, I'd rather that. I'd rather that punishment than like some sort of, you know, where you have to go through a process of like... You know, rehabilitation. Right, just hit me. Just hit me.
Yeah.
Take your medicine.
I was talking today with my wife how we're at the age where, like, other parents would smack us. Like, and my parents would actually thank them for doing it. Like, oh, thanks for that. Yeah, cool. I couldn't get across to them. So, yeah, thanks for hitting my kid.
Mm.
And now I cannot imagine anyone in my generation's even smacking their kids and how that would act if someone else hit their kids.
I had the grimmest one at the park the other day with my son, Charlie. There was another kid. I was talking to his mum. His mum's Estonian. And this kid who's bigger than my son just shoved him over for no reason. Charlie laughed about it. And the mum put her hand on my shoulder and said, revenge is yours now.
Oh, wow.
What is that? No way. Game of Thrones shit, lady.
Wow. Yeah, that's, that's in Brisbane.
She gave permission to smack her kid or push your kid back.
Yeah, just like if you want to tell your son to hit mine, that's fine.
Wow. See,
I get that after 5 months of lockdown in Melbourne, but you're up in Brisbane. People have been running free for ages. Yeah. Like,
they're angry up there, though.
But yeah, it's too hot.
Yeah, something's wrong.
Next question. Who once called a plumber to come and fix their dishwasher and the plumber just turned the dishwasher on and fixed it?
Heggie.
Yes, Nazeem.
Nick Cody.
Yes, that is Nick Cody. A point there for Nazeem. Yeah.
I didn't know. It was a new apartment that we were renting. I didn't realise that. A dishwasher, there was shit under the sink, dishwasher related. I thought it was all front. And I was pushing it. It wasn't turning on. And he turned up and just popped his head under. I was like, what's under there? And he said, where it plugs in. I was like, fuck. I didn't even... Like, I don't know how I thought it worked. Maybe nuclear power or something.
That's exactly what happened to me not too long ago. Actually, during lockdown, I thought the security system was just broken and just kept beeping. And so the agent called the landlord. Landlord engaged a freaking electrician to come out. And it would have been like a $200 call-out fee for the... Anyway, he came in and he looked at the security system and said, no, it's fine. And then I go, what's the beeping? He goes, oh, you need to change your battery in the smoke alarm. Can't you see it flashing? And so he just put in a $3, possibly $2 if he was bargaining.
$2, that's all right. Yeah. What do you reckon, Nick? $2 for the battery?
For a 9-volt, that's
bargain.
I would have said, come on, mate, that's a write-off for you.
Bargain.
Right, next question. Which of you once had two elderly audience members shuffle out of their gig and say loudly to each other, this is the worst entertainment we've ever seen?
Edo.
Yes, Edo.
Heggy.
Yes, that's Heggy, yeah.
And 50 young ones.
You just go on that odd experience, are you? You've seen it.
I've shuffled out of your show.
Wait, did you hear them say that? Did you hear them say that?
Well, it was actually when they're getting in their car, in the car park. I went out to the car park. Oh, it's really dark. They hadn't seen me. And it was a fucking grim gig. And that's the last thing I heard before they slammed the door and sped off. That's the worst entertainment we've ever seen. Bang. Gone. That's really not good. But, you know, live and learn.
Next question. Who... while on TV, was so drunk they forgot they were on TV.
Heggy.
Yes, Heggy.
It is Edo.
No, it's Nick Cody.
Surprisingly.
Was this on LOL?
I thought it was too
obvious. No, you weren't sober on LOL.
Three of you were in the room with him.
No, you weren't. No, you were drinking LOL. Was this on the Amazon show?
LOL. I was having a great time. No, yeah, I almost got Edo to break. I leant in and said, oh, man.
You did. You did. That was my first deduction of points. Because
even though I haven't lived in Hoppers Crossing for 13 years, there's still you can't just put a kid from Hoppers into a room with free booze for 6 hours and lock the door and expect him not to.
You did the right thing.
Yeah. When's season two?
Same cast or going back in?
I would think so.
I hope so.
Why change a perfect formula?
I don't know if we're going to breach in contract even by laughing.
Yeah, I know. A lot of therapy there.
All right. Next question. Who, during the Edinburgh run, was woken up every morning by people practicing the bagpipes for the tattoo? Oh.
Edo.
Could be any of us.
Yes, Edo.
Heggy.
Yes, you are right. It was Heggy.
Yeah.
I know why, too. Because Heggy didn't stay in town. He'd ride a bike 40 minutes every night to go and camp.
Wow.
What that's dedication to the craft. To the craft.
Out of tent, yeah. It's pretty grim. But I just bought a 10-pound bike when I got there. Wasn't flush. Still not. But, fucking the tattoo was on at the same time. So,
the tattoo was the thing that that annoyed you of the whole camping outside in Edinburgh for a month experience.
I didn't camp for a whole month. I only camped for probably 10, 12 days. And then I went...
it got weirder.
Then I pitched my tent in the Nelson Twins and Jason Chong's Airbnb, whatever it was. Yeah.
That's the grimmest thing I've ever heard.
It was great. Nelson Twins. Had a really big lounge room, so I just put my tent in there. Stayed there.
Did you need
the tent?
Because
I was about to say...
you just tents and mattresses on the floor.
I definitely needed the tent.
Oh, really? Was there rooting?
A little bit and stuff, but there was also just... they're pigs, mate. They just walk out fucking pretty much nude any hour. Ooh. Straight into the kitchen, cook themselves, whatever.
It's a twin thing, isn't it? It's just twins do that sort of weird stuff.
It's pretty creepy.
Is there any difference between the twin penises?
Imagine if one had a massive hog. One just had an absolute monster.
Cruel, that'd be.
They were conjoined and they didn't do the right cut. That's where they were.
I couldn't tell you. Their dicks have got massive beards too.
There were these twins at my school, identical twins, who used to talk to guys at school about how they would masturbate together and watch porn. Mm. And like that was a normal thing.
It's not.
Funny things go on with twinnies.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Gives me the heebie-jeebies.
Actually, I learned about... Yeah, no, it's just a grim story.
Next question. Who, as a child, would just wander around the trots unsupervised?
Heggie.
Oh, Nick. Oh.
Yes, Heggie.
That's Edo.
That is Edo, yeah.
Point there for Heggie. You didn't guess me. What's a trot?
What's a trot? Oh, God. The trots are the...
Get a harness racing.
The harness racing on a Friday night at Moonee Valley, which isn't far from where I live.
I know.
I haven't come far in life, I must say.
Edo, but, you sent me a photo the other week. From your from the front of your house, going, can see the trots from here. Lockdown's not too bad.
Yeah, look at that. Beautiful. They haven't run in years, but there they are. And a father of the mate of my best mate when we were growing up used to take us to the trots, and then just he'd walk, we'd walk behind him, and he'd just walk into the adult only section, which was huge, and just go through, and the bouncers would go, no, no, not your kids. And he'd just keep going, like he didn't look back. Yeah. And we'd be like, Mr. Rogers, and then and then we'd spend the rest of the time just on the ground looking for old tab tickets,
yeah,
and then checking if they were winners. Yeah. And once someone had dropped a winner, not much, but it can happen that someone has a winning ticket and they drop it. Let that be a lesson.
I had a very similar upbringing. Every Saturday or Sunday, go to the Bernie Dockers football game. Dad would walk in with us and go, all right, I'll be the cam bar. See the big clock there? When it's 6 o'clock, meet me there under the clock. Mum will come pick us up. That was from age 7 to 16, every single... like.
What, and he'd just go and get blind?
Yeah. You'd just be in the cam bar all day drinking, and wow. I'd just do laps and kick the footy at halftime. I remember going out...
Good times, really.
Because it was country footy, so you could go out and listen to the coaches kind of rev up at quarter time and three-quarter time. And they'd have all the drinks. I still remember the very faint lemon cordial they'd give the players, and I'd knock a few of those back, and
players drink.
Yeah,
my mum used to do kitchen hand at Flemington Racecourse, and would basically dump us at the just watching near the finish line, and I just spent the whole day at the races, pretty much, just me and my sisters
on the punt.
So, few Sri Lankan kids just by themselves. And one time we moved from where we were, and then like half an hour after the time she's supposed to be, a group of about 5 cops and my mum were like, there he is. And
I don't have any of these stories because I experienced some form of love during my childhood.
Oh, you can tell
this
by
is the
your
guy who lives in a tent in a house.
Yeah, my parents were nice enough to leave us at home when they went to play the pokies. Have to watch whatever you wanted on fucking Galaxy or Optus Vision.
And our last question for the game. Who here got a letter of apology from the US Ambassador of Australia?
Edo.
Yes, Edo.
Naz.
Yes, it was Nazim.
Always
political.
Always with the political stuff, guys.
Trump? Well, Trump-based?
Yeah, what they apologising for?
Well, actually, it was Obama at the time. I was interrogated for 4 hours because I'd been to Yemen. So, I mean, it's just an unnecessary interview. But they asked me if I was a terrorist, and then they asked me to prove that I wasn't, and also, and they said I was a comedian. They said, can you prove it? Showed them some clips, and
they were like,
they laughed.
No, you're not.
They actually didn't laugh. And then one of them said, well, the Aussie accent's pretty funny.
Did you show them 4 hours of clips? 4 hours of clips, was it?
It was
until he got a laugh.
Okay, so a guy would come in, empty notepad, literally just start asking any questions, and then just ask follow-up questions. What street do you live in? What's the street next to that called? How do you spell that? Where did you go to school? What did you do in Yemen? And I said I was there doing this spiritual retreat, which probably sounded pretty dodgy.
Oh,
and then he was like, so he tried to catch me out. So he goes, did you do any terrorist-related activities? I said, no. He goes, but if someone asked you, would you? I said, no. And he goes, did you ever practice just wrestling with your friends just as a bit of fun? You know how guys do that? And I said, no. He was just trying to like find terrorism adjacent activities that I might have been
doing. I've
got
to say, he could have been more subtle if he's trying to catch you out than are you a terrorist?
It was yes or no. But they ask you that on the thing.
Mind games.
Question.
Yeah. They have to ask you. It's like a cop thing in the movies.
Yeah, right.
Hey, Naz, for later on, just say doing gigs for the troops. I got that. Going into the US, they said, why do you have Afghanistan in your passport? I said, did gigs for the troops. Got a high five.
Yeah, but I reckon if you said I'm doing gigs for the troops, they're going to say which troops?
Which troops? Nazim Muhammad Hussein. I don't think they're called troops, by the way.
All right, at the end of the game, the scores are Nazim, 4 points.
Ooh.
Luke Heggie, 5 points.
Ooh.
And Edmonds, 5 points. But our winner on 8 points is Nick Cody.
Wow. He has gotten himself a bargain there.
You certainly saved those points.
Yeah. Everyone's now, getting one at Christmas.
Because you win, Cody, you can promote your podcast first. What's your podcast called?
Mid-Flight Brawl with the one and only Luke Heggie.
It's like Heggie's one as well.
Yeah.
We talk now, about fights that have happened on planes. It's a good time.
Yeah,
great. What day is it out?
Every Thursday.
Every Thursday. Great. Awesome. Edo, where can people hear The Grub?
The Grub is, we put out monthly episodes that are free of all our best sketches, but we have a weekly sketch, weekly show on our Patreon and other things like movie night and just general grubbiness. It's rotten on there. So if you want to go to the next Grub level, get involved.
Cool. Heggy, you got anything to promote other than the pod as well?
I got merch. It's ticking over at your nearest LukeHeggie.com shop. Selling three packs of 10-inch carpenter pencils. And I am overstocked and underpriced, so get in.
Bargain, bargain.
Get yourself a bargain. Already sent him some.
If you want to know where to get them from, just wait till the next celebrity to die and follow Heggie on Twitter and you'll be able to pick some up. And Naz, where can people find you?
Doing a podcast called Survivor's Guide. I did one on Audible called Rogue Son, which you have to pay for.
But, so you went to Sri Lanka for this, right?
Went to Sri Lanka for this and spent a lot of time doing it. And, now it's a podcast.
Oh, you sound excited about it. That's good.
I'm so bad.
For a paid trip to Sri Lanka. Sorry to hear.
That was really good. Basically, went all around Sri Lanka, tea fields, Adams Peak, Sigiriya, met up to Jaffna, hung out with people who were part of the Tamil Tigers, maybe still are, even though it's not called that. Very exciting.
These all sound like things that are best captured on audio.
It's an auditory. I don't know why it's a podcast.
Yeah. You could have caught us all out there, Naz, and just made up three of those place names and we'd all nod along. Love it.
Hey, thanks for doing this. This was heaps of fun. I'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Yeah.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.